Blog Talk Radio.
Chocolate Lady 64 at Blog Talk Radio, and it is already November the 5th, and I'm hoping everyone is having a good evening. Let's start with, I hate to bring out negative stuff in the midst of trying to send out messages and to get the right information out, but earlier today at Fort Hood, Texas, from what I'm understanding, there was a shootout, a shooting that is, and if I'm not mistaken, it was 31 people injured, and it's close to my heart because I am a former soldier and I am a veteran, and then we're so close to Veterans Day and for so this tragic to happen. I want to say to all family members that have been affected by this tragedy, my prayers, our prayers are with you. And we have to put all of this in God's hands. I'm not getting religious on you, but I'll say this. We have to put it in the hands of a higher being that takes care of us on a daily basis. And I'm not saying that this was predicted or whatever, but I'm saying that things happen, and I'm so sorry that it did happen, and I wish we could turn back the hands of time and it never happened, but this tragedy has taken place. And also I would like to send prayers out to the family members of the 11 bodies that they found in Cleveland, Ohio, in Mr. I think his name was Saul House. My heart and my prayers go out to those families. And I'm hoping that each and every one of those people, each and every one of those women who were victimized, murdered, are rightfully placed with their family to put a lot of stuff at ease. Okay, no more sad stuff. I'm not going to talk about anything else. We just have to pray. We have to always pray. I find myself saying thank you, Lord, at the most opportune time or the unopportune time, because it just kind of hits me that things could be so much worse for us, but they're not. And I think about so many people that are without right now. It's getting close to the holidays, and a lot of people are without a lot of things. And I'm blessed. I have a home. I have a job. I have transportation to get back and forth in. I can't complain. And I thank God for that. Okay, enough. Let me get off my soapbox on that one. Okay, we're going to continue with our discussion on PTSD. I had to change the show topic because when you try to stay organized and you forget that you've organized something and you've already got stuff together, that's what happened to me with this one. I'm on the session or the section of PTSD post traumatic stress disorder. I'm on the part or the section that talks about intimate partner violence, and that's actually what I've already put together, and on my own I changed without realizing I had already organized and put my shows already together. Well, anyway, I celebrated this past Monday my 8th year anniversary. We had a great time. I took off about 4 days worth of work to just relax and enjoy the time. Believe it or not, I'm surprised that we made it this far. It's not because we had or we have a bad marriage. It's because I never imagined me lasting long in relationships. I get frustrated and I walk away what we call the dumb shit, excuse my language. But I can truly say I have a good husband and he has a good wife. We always find ways to work out our problems without, you know, a lot of drama. Okay, enough about my marriage. Let's move on. Let's get back to our subject. Remember, you may call in at 347-677-1749 at any time during the show. With any comments or questions, I'll do my best to answer them for you. Okay, tonight we'll discuss intimate partner violence. This occurs when a current or former partner uses behaviors or threats that can make you feel scared, controlled, or intimidated. In a relationship in which IPV occurs is known as an abusive relationship. IPV could include any of the following: physical violence, hitting, pushing, grabbing, biting, choking, shaking, slapping, sexual violence, attempted or actual sexual contact without your consent. That's threats of physical or sexual abuse, humiliating, putting down, isolating, threatening, stalking, following, harassing, or unwanted contacts that make you feel afraid. Now, before I go any further, I just mentioned to you what they call intimate partner violence. We just discussed the overview of what it is and how it is. If you remember, I did some segments a couple of shows back or more about domestic violence. At the time, I never even thought about putting those two together, as far as dealing with PTSD, but I'm glad that now this is coming back up again, and we can talk about it again. We're going to talk about the relationship's red flags. I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and this almost sounds just like with the domestic violence, and you tell me. Already we know relationships can be complicated. A relationship with IPV can be overwhelming, and it can be very confusing. Sometimes it can be hard to know if you're experiencing the IPV. The following questions give some examples of unsafe behaviors that can happen in a relationship. Number one says, does your partner control all of the family income and budget? Control your work or your schooling? Do they have that type of control over you? Does your partner keep you away from friends and family, control you by questions and threats about what you do, where you go, and people you see? These are warning signs that we need to look for in relationships, even in normal relationships. You know, if you have to question your partner, like, all the time, you have to keep contact with them on the cell phone. They can't be at peace. They can't be at work. They can't do nothing without you calling them and texting them. You have problems. Those are signs. Does your partner keep, okay, I read that part. Does your partner put you down or make you feel guilty or ashamed, blame you for the abuse? Do they say, you're the reason why I keep hitting you, you won't do this, you won't do that? Those are things you have to look for. Does your partner make or carry out threats to hurt your body or your feelings or those someone you love? Do they threaten you? If you don't act this right, I'll go in there and I'll beat the crap out of your kid. You know, those are things you have to look out for. Does your partner, do they threaten to ruin your reputation, threaten to take your children away? If you don't act right, this is what I'm going to do to you. I'll call welfare. I'll call DCS on you. You know, just anything they can do to threaten you and make you know that they're serious, to keep you, again, away from everybody and to keep you afraid of them. Does your partner scare you by breaking or destroying objects or punching holes in the walls, hurting or threatening pets, you know, grabbing your dog around the neck and saying, if you don't, I'll rip his neck off? You know, we as women, and I, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not going to try to repeat myself, but if I'm not mistaken, when we get into the relationships with these people, we need to look at those warning signs. We need to know how to handle what to get out of, when to get out of it, and how to get out of it. I mean, and how to know what's the warning signs to let them know, hey, look, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. Does your partner physically or sexually assault you or your children? You know, those are things we look at. I was talking earlier, we were on a conversation at work, and the discussion was how we let these guys come in our lives, and we don't really know them from Adam. Before you know it, we got them around our children. And then your child is being molested, and you don't even know it because you've allowed this person in your life. You have to be very careful. I think nowadays women should always be very thorough when it comes to relationships with other people. I think they should, especially when you have children involved. It's like right now the war is on children and women. Those should be warning signs. Those should be signs saying, hold up, something is not right here, and we're not catching it. I'm not saying that the police are not doing their jobs. I'm not saying that the city and the county and the state is not taking this stuff seriously. I'm saying, women, we need to step up and take care of ourselves. We need to see what it is that makes these men do this, or really not concerned about that. Just know that the warning signs are out there. When you're in a relationship, oh, yeah, you occasionally get in an argument. But when the argument escalates to more than just an argument, and you can feel when a person is getting out of hand. I promise you, you can feel when a person is getting out of hand. And it's up to you to step away and move on to something different, or just kind of slowly say, you know what, this relationship is not working out. You have to know, if we just hone on our women's intuition, we can find out and we can catch those signals. I don't care what nobody say. If you're really skeptical about the person you're with, I promise you, you'll pick up on his ways and the ways he does things. Getting off of that, let's talk about how common IPV is. You're not alone, first and foremost. IPV can happen to anyone, no matter how much education or money they have. IPV happens to happens to people of all racial, ethnic, or cultural groups, and of any religion or sexual orientation. An estimated 22 to 31% of American women report experiencing IPV at some point in their lives. Very important. How might IPV affect me? You may not realize it, but the impact of IPV can reach far beyond the actual or threatening abuse. Experiencing IPV may mean that you have more physical problems. Women with a history of IPV report 60% higher rates of health problems compared to women. Women with no history of abuse. Experiencing IPV may mean that you have more problems with your mood. IPV can lead to depressed moods, feelings of worthlessness, anxiety or worry, feeling emotionally numb, problems with alcohol, drugs, and suicidal thoughts and behavior. Your health care provider may assess you for post-traumatic stress disorder, substance abuse, and depression. For some reason, I mean, maybe there is a large amount of people who suffer from PTSD seem to abuse drugs and alcohol. I don't think that's true for everyone. You know, some people might have another vice, but it's not always substance abuse. And I'm thinking the numbers and the way they've come up with this is that maybe a lot of the cases where the person is into abusing substances like alcohol and drugs, I don't think that's always the case. I think people find other ways of dealing with their disorder or whatever's going on with them. Experiencing IPV may also affect your job or your career. Women who had experienced IPV were found to be more likely to have periods of no work than those who had not experienced it at all. So women, we go through a whole process of changing when we're dealing with this IPV. And like it said, it's hard for you to be diagnosed, and it's good to have a provider that you can go to, a healthcare provider that you can talk to and tell him, okay, this is going on with me. Me and my husband or significant other, whichever, we're fighting all the time. Those are signs. Those are things that you need to tell them. Do you feel frustrated? You know, sometimes we say no because we're so embarrassed by the situation. Then sometimes we need to say, you know what, I need to get help. And if I don't get help, what's going to happen to me next? So we need to know when to get help and how to get help. I'm going to repeat the numbers that I gave you last week for people who are suffering or suicidal with the PTSD. We can dial 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. That's for the English version. For the Espanol version, it's 1-888-628-9454. I'm going to repeat those numbers again, and I'm going to do it again at the end of the show. 273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. And Espanol is 1-888-628-9454. Keep getting the numbers mixed up, and I'm sorry. And like I said, I will be repeating them again. Okay. When you're going through all of this, you're fighting with your partner, you're depressed, you don't want to go home, you're hoping things will change, you're hoping that when you do go to the house, that person is not upset, they're not going crazy, they're not cussing you out, maybe you should be thinking of what we call an exit plan. What would I do if things got out of hand? I'm not saying go home, get in an argument, and, oh, I'm going to leave. I'm saying you look for the signs, because it's not going to be overnight. It's going to be a long period of time. You listen to the things that they're saying. Watch the way that they react to stuff. You know, you have to catch it because it's you that's involved in this, so it's up to you to take care of yourself, to make sure that you're doing what you have to do, that this person is not going to go to the point to hurt you, and that once you catch it, that you take the precautions to get out of a relationship that has all of this going on. Because you are very important to yourself, if nothing else. And if you have children involved, your children, you're important to your children. They need their mothers. They need their fathers. They need the significant others. They need their aunties. They need their cousins. They need these people in their lives. So it's very important for you to take care of yourself. It says staying safe. Only you know what is safest for you and your children. Just like I just said, what you may do, keep yourself safe, may change over time. Whether or not you are in an abusive relationship, safety planning is something you can do now to help improve your safety situation. Some important safety practices, let's talk about them. Okay, if you think you or your children are in danger, leave the situation right away. Instantly leave. Excuse me. Make a note of safe places within your home to go when conflicts begin to heat up. Avoid rooms with weapons such as the kitchen or with no exits such as closets or bathrooms. Very important. Do not let someone get you caught up in the bathroom because there's no way out. Consider finding a code word to use as a distress signal to family members, children, and friends. Inform them in advance if they hear you use the code word. They should get help right away. Say you're talking to someone on the phone. Give them a code word. Let everybody know what your code word is, except the person who's doing the violence against you. Give them a code word when you call or when they call you. Let them know what's going on so that they can get you help, get the police over, whatever. Get someone over to help you as soon as possible. These are the things that we need to take care of. Right now, we are going to take a break. I am sorry. We will continue with this right here. I'm getting ready to let you listen to some more music from my son's upcoming album. and I'm hoping you like it. I'm going to play a little bit of it. I love so much. He's very good at that. Very talented young man. Okay, let's continue here. We talked about considering a code word to use as a distress signal to family members, children, and friends. Inform them in advance if they hear you use the word in any type of form, fashion, shape, they should get help right away. Okay, pack a suitcase with items to take with you when you leave. Make copies of important legal documents such as driver's license, social security cards, birth certificates, medical records showing previous injuries, and set some money aside. Hide these items in a place where your partner will not find them. Let's see. If you're good at hiding stuff, you can put it up in the closet, any place you know he doesn't. Most women who know their home know where to put stuff, know their husband's patterns or their significant other or their boyfriend's patterns. They know certain places they won't look. So that's just a little tip. Put it somewhere where you know he doesn't look and put it somewhere where you know you can go get it and he won't know. Make a list of people and agencies you can call or go to in a case of emergency. Learn key phone numbers, such as a number for your local shelter, even if you think you won't need it. Still have that in your mind because you might can contact with them. I mean, contact them, and you, they might be able to help you, you know, by getting the help that you need in that area or at your house. Excuse me, I'm sorry. To talk with someone you trust, even if you do not want to discuss the details of your situation, simply tell one person that you trust that you have experienced IPV and that you may need their support in the future. This can help a lot. Okay? Consider talking to neighbors about calling police if they hear loud noises or fighting. Automatically let your neighbors know, I know my neighbors, but I'm not close to my neighbors, so it's not for me to go over there and talk to them. I guess I don't think about it ever happening to me. Not that I'm not in the situation that it can't, but I just never think of it happening to me. And the way I am, they'd have to catch me off guard. I'll put to you like that. You got to really catch me off guard to get me. That's just how I am. Consider sharing your situation with your supervisor at work so that they might be able to help you with safety planning in your workplace. Coworkers, I'm in an office with somebody that I can talk to. I would tell her my situation on how we're not getting along, or, you know, I wouldn't get deep into it, but I would let her know, and I would give her phone numbers that she can call for me in case something happens if I'm in that situation. So it's good to let not only your supervisors, but even some of your coworkers that you're, you know, that you talk to on a daily basis about a lot of stuff. And we have a lot of different subjects we talk about, so that would be one of them that I would let her know how to contact whoever she needs to contact for me in order to get me help if she thought that I would be in that type of danger. What if I have children in my home? If you have children in your home, here are some things you can do to keep, them safe and protect them from the IPV as much as possible. It's extra children straight out if they have ever abused or experienced violence. Studies have shown that 40 to 60% of families where there is IPV, child physical abuse is also present. Keep that in mind. Develop a safety plan with you and your children. Tell your children about safe places to go in the home when conflicts heat up. Practice escape routes with your children. Teach your children whom to call for help in emergencies. Help them learn important emergency phone numbers by heart. Very clearly explain to them how and when they should call for help. When you're sitting down playing games with your children, just blurt out the number. See if they can repeat the number. Write the number down in their school bags, you know, in their homework, in their folders. You know, keep the number where they can see it so they can constantly look at it. When they open up their drawer in their bedroom, their number be there so they can get familiar with this number. When they're playing a game, put the number where they can see it, you know, so that they can get familiar with it. Because there's different ways you can teach them how to know a number and know when to use the number. Some children may try to stop a fight or argument in order to protect their parents, which most boys do that. Girls do that too, but most boys don't like to see their mothers being hit. So what they do, they'll jump in. They may get hurt as a result. Teach your children not to get in the middle of a fight. Tell them to step back. Teach them what to do instead when a fight occurs. They could go to a safe place or call emergency numbers, the numbers that you taught them. So all of this actually can connect with the domestic violence. Actually, it is a form of domestic violence. Now we want to see if we can get support. Many people who have experienced IPV had a hard time talking about it. You know, it's an embarrassment thing. You know, it's a shameful thing, you know, even though you don't want it to be that way, but that's how you look at it. Experiencing IPV can bring up feelings of shame and low self-esteem. It makes you feel like you can't defend yourself. These feelings can make it hard to seek help, which, you know, it is. You don't want to talk about it. You don't want everybody in your business. And it's very important that we do tell somebody. Also, since violent partners often try to control and keep their partners away from their loved ones, experiencing IPV can make you feel alone, isolated, away from everybody. You know, they don't know who to talk to, how to talk to them. If you have been threatened, even indirectly with harm to you or your loved ones, you might feel afraid of what could happen if you tell about your experience or try to get help. It can take a lot of time and encourage to decide what to do next and how to seek help. Remember that although you cannot stop your partner's behavior, only he or she can do that. You can find support for yourself and your children. Stay connected to friends and family who support your health and safety. Also, many professional resources and providers are available and well-trained to help you in a private and respectful manner. Say, for instance, you take your child to his appointment. You know all this is going on. You know the child is being affected by it. Most of the time, if the doctor can pick it up, which they do, they'll ask the child, then they'll ask you what's going on. Your provider would be a great asset right then and there for you to give him all your information just in case something happens. I promise you, a good doctor or a good provider is going to get you the help that you need. They will get you in the right direction and get you to the right people. So keep that in mind when you're taking your kid to the doctor and you know all this is going on. When you go to your doctor appointment, keep a list that you can give to your doctor, your provider, to know that, hey, look, this is happening. Say you miss a couple appointments. It's not like they can't stop and call you, because I know when I miss an appointment, my doctor calls me, or he gets the nurse to call me to let me know you missed an appointment, what's going on. You need that. You need to give them some numbers so that they can call when they know that you missed, when you're not answering the phone. Because, I mean, it's not something that you jump and do automatically. They'll know the signs when you come in for your appointments, and then it's time for you to come for your next appointment, you don't show up or something happens. They know what to do next. So keep that in mind, as long as you're keeping them informed on what's going on. How do I know when I'm in a healthy relationship? Some people who are in relationships with IPV may not have had much experience in safe, healthy relationships. They may not believe that healthy, safe relationships actually exist. They do. While no relationship is perfect, here are some behaviors that are commonly found in a healthy relationship. Your partner supports your relationship with friends and family members. They encourage you to get out and talk to other people and mingle with friends and family, go to parties, go to outings with family members. Your partner asks your opinion, respectfully listens to your answers. You and your partner can agree to disagree and resolve conflicts without fear or name-calling, insults, manipulation, threats, or violence. You know, there's so many ways you can deal with stuff. Your partner accepts responsibility for his or her own mistakes, behavior, thoughts, or feelings, and will offer sincere apologies and demonstrate change accordingly. We can use a word. There's two words. Let's see. There's four words we use. I'm sorry, constantly. There's five words. Let me repeat that. There's two words we use. I'm sorry. I mean, there's five. I'm sorry is two. I love you is three. So think about it. I'm sorry on this end, and I love you on this end. You have to determine whether or not they sound sincere to you. You'll know in your heart. Then again, you can be fooled. You really can. You can be fooled that, wait a minute, this person's not for real. Because if they keep saying it, and every time they say it, they hurt you, then they say it again, there's a problem. And you need to pick up on that. Your partner trusts you and is also trustworthy and is someone you and your children will feel safe with. You want to feel safe. Your children deserve to be safe and in their environment, in their house, wherever they go, whenever they go. They need you to protect them, and they need to feel safe. Your share in decision-making, the responsibility of family budgeting, and sharing of the family resources to benefit all family members equally. I'll pay all the bills. I need to have all the money in a checking account. Those things, no. You need to equally put your share and his share in there and pay the bills out of it. Sit down and discuss anything different that's going to go on. Share it. Family-wise, if it's something y'all know you need in the family, sit down and talk about it. Okay, can we afford it this month? If we can't afford it this month, let's put it on our next month list. You know, those type of things. And finances can be one of the main reasons why families break up and domestic violence and IPV happens because of finances. To find that you would like to build or increase these behaviors in your current and future relationships, you may consider consulting with a healthcare professional about how to find support in doing so. You need help. Don't be embarrassed to get the help that you need. In order for you to have a happy, healthy relationship, you first and foremost need to get the help. You need to recognize the signs, and you need to get the help so that you can continue to have a relationship and have these traits in your relationship. Support for your children. Let's say if you have children in your home, you may have likely worked very hard to keep them safe and protect them from IPV as much as possible. Sometimes parents hope that their children do not know that IPV is happening. However, in many families where IPV is occurring, the children are very much aware of it. They often report that they have heard or seen abuse, even when the adults in their home did not realize that it was happening. You know, kids sense things. When we don't think that they're looking, they're looking. When you don't think they're thinking, they're thinking. So you have to watch how you react and interact around your children. Like you, children will be affected by the IPV. Even if they do not show it right away, after witnessing IPV, children often feel angry, insecure, worried, alone, frightened, powerless, confused, or they believe that they are to blame. Children always think that they're the biggest blame for divorce and the domestic violence and all the things that happen in relationships, when in reality, it has nothing to do with them. It's two adults that cannot find out what's going on, and they need help. They may have mixed feelings both toward the abuser and towards the non-abusing parent. They may think the violence is their fault, or they may... or that they are responsible for stopping it. Children often show distress physically, so they may complain of things like headaches or stomach aches, which I've noticed that they do that. They may have bad dreams or nightmares, wet the bed, act younger than their age, have social and learning difficulties at school, act aggressively, or they may withdraw from others. Your children are experiencing these things. Don't necessarily mean that it's IPV, but it's something you need to take heed to. We mistakenly think, oh, this is just a kid growing up. He's going through his adolescence. You need to stop and take heed and pay attention to the signs and symptoms and get your child some help. It's up to you. You're responsible for this child. You make sure this child is safe and in a healthy environment. Some children will want to stay home because they are afraid of what may happen to their parent if they go out, if they leave and go to school. We have to be careful. We have to be careful about the men we bring in our children's lives. I say that on a constant basis. And if you married your husband and he wasn't like that and you noticed the changes and you didn't do anything about him or make it safe for your children, then this is the time that you do that. I tell any woman out there right now or any person who is listening right now to get the help you need. Talk to somebody. Many parents stay in violent relationships because they believe keeping the family together provides children with a sense of security, which in reality, children will likely feel more secure with one adult in a safe home than two adults in a home where there's violence and fear automatically. If they feel that you guys are going to be fighting all the time, that's not safe mentally, emotionally, physically for those children. You need to make sure your children are priority no matter what the situation is. Don't go chasing after him if he leaves. Let it go. You need to make sure your children are safe, that you're not sacrificing your children for a relationship in a violent situation. If you find yourself in a relationship with IPV, here are some things you can do to support your children. We're definitely talking about supporting of the children right now. Okay, take your children and listen to them. Most children want a chance to talk about what they're feeling. Try to be as honest as possible about the situation without scaring them. Children want to feel as if they can believe you and trust you. Tell them that the abuse, first of all, you tell them that the abuse is not their fault and that they are not responsible for any adult behavior. Remind them that violence is wrong and that it does not solve problems. Consider getting help for your children. Sometimes parents do not ask for help out of fear of being blamed or out of worry that their children will be taken away from them if IPV is reported. Well, if you allow your child to stay in an IPV relationship, then guess what? That is a reason for them to take your children from you. So don't give them that opportunity to take your children from you. You get out as soon as possible. But often the most loving thing you can do as a parent is to seek support for yourself and your children. Make sure when you get out that you get help so that you can find a warning sign so that you know that not that you can't get back into that relationship. You can't, no matter what he does, don't need to go back. Now, let's talk about how friends and families can help. Friends and family often worry about their loved ones who are in unsafe, fearful situations. They sometimes wonder how they might be able to help. Here are some suggestions. Listen to and believe the IPV experience of your friend or family member. Explain that no one, that no one deserves to be abused or battered by their partner. Explain that it is the abusive partner who is solely to blame and who is entirely responsible for their own behavior. Keep that in mind. Share that you can continue to be worried about the safety of your friend or family member and any children in the family. Express that you care about your friend or family member no matter what. Let them know you will support them when they are ready to leave the relationship or to seek professional help. Not only when they're ready to leave the relationship, in the process of getting to the point where they want to leave, you still need to support them. Sometimes women find themselves or significant others or whatever going back. Don't get angry at them, but know and let them know even if you do go back, we're still here for you because you that person has to make that decision to leave on their own. You cannot help them. You cannot prompt them. You can't push them. You can only encourage them to get to a safe place or to keep them encouraged that things are going to get better if they seek the help that they need. Now, this is information specific to veterans. Women veterans and active duty military personnel are even more likely than non-veterans to have experienced IPV. Among women veterans, 39% report having experienced IPV at some point in their lives. In active duty women, 30 to 44% report having experienced IPV during their lifetime. VA has a number of resources, estimates of IPV committed by veterans and active duty servicemen range between 13.5% and 58%, and these rates have been found to be up to the three times higher than seen among civilians. Now, just listen to that, how important for us to make sure that we are mentally and physically safe when experiencing all this. VA has a number of resources available for those who have experienced IPV. At each VA medical center nationwide, a women's veterans program manager is designated to assist women veterans. This person can help coordinate all the services you may need related to IPV or other kinds of care, including help with safe housing or shelter. So you have a resource. In addition to the women's veterans program manager, there are other VA resources that can help you. For housing or shelter, contact your nearest VA facility and ask for social work services department or VA homeless coordinator or a point of contact. Any of these contacts can discuss what options are available in your area. Your VA mental health provider can also help connect you to the community resources related to parenting, child, and family resources. Family services. Military sexual trauma survivors are at an increased risk of having experienced other forms of violence, such as IPV, in the past, and there are increased risk of future violence as well. Also, sometimes assaults that occur in the military are committed by current or former intimate partners. If relationship violence occurs while you were in the military, you can contact your nearest VA facility to speak with the military sexual trauma coordinator. Every VA facility has providers knowledgeable about treatment for the after effects of MST. Many have specialized outpatient mental health services focusing on sexual trauma. And I am a witness that they do have the resources out there to help you. And right now, that's what the federal government is spending a lot of their money on in the VA system, is getting social workers, finding psychologists and psychiatrists to help us to transition from one area, the military, into civilian life, and transition from all the trauma that we have faced and been victim of in order for us to continue to live and to continue to have a healthy relationship or have a healthy life, period. So the help is out there. It's up to us to get it. The following phone numbers are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It may be helpful to memorize them in case of emergency. There's a 24-hour domestic violence hotline, 1-800-799-SAFE, 7233. Also, the National Sexual Assault Hotline is 1-800-656-4673. Okay, I'm going to say these numbers again. It's Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-800-799-SAFE or 1-800-799-7233. And the National Sexual Assault Hotline is 1-800-656-4673. Now, let's sum this up real quick here. We discussed today intimate partner violence, which is part of the PTSD segments that we were talking about. We talked about suicide and with PTSD. We talked about the common reaction symptoms and common situations with PTSD and where they come from and how we handle suicide being a big part of what's going on now with PTSD. Let me give you the number again, 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255, which is the English version of the hotline to call. Also, the Espanol is 1-888-628-9454. These are the numbers that you can call to get help with. The 1-800-273-TALK is actually where you can talk to people and get help. And also there's a website you can go to called www.samhsa.gov, and it's a database where you have different numbers and different referral information for you to contact to get any help. So the resources are out there. It's up to you to find the resources. This same information, and I will tell you again, you can find this information on ptsd.va.gov. Basically is where I've gotten this. These are fact sheets that I've gotten off the internet. That, like I said, I love researching stuff. And next week's show, basically, we will be discussing the end part of it, which will be the treatment of PTSD. Let's see. I'm not sure I'm on that same wavelength that I was on before. Let's see. Yeah. Our next week's show is going to be helping a family member who has PTSD. What can we do to help? And we'll be discussing that. Also, and let's see. I gave you those phone numbers. Okay. And it also, we didn't talk about, I'm trying to figure out, did we talk about where to get help for PTSD? Let's see. Did we talk about that? No, because I just named the names. I just gave you the phone numbers on that. You can also call 911 if you're getting to the point where you know you need help right then and there. Or your nearest emergency room. You can also call there. 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255. Espanol is 1-888-628-9454. So, excuse me, we'll be concluding our conversation on PTSD. We'll also talk about a little bit about medication and treatment of PTSD. I'll add that to our next show. Then I want to, I then want to discuss with you guys our next segment, and I was not going to do this, but I think it's very important for us to know this. And I don't mind talking about it. And it's just some recent information that I just discovered, and I felt really kind of stupid. And I'll be honest with you, I really did. Okay, I'm going to try to conclude our show also next week. November the 12th is our next show. Also, we're going to be talking about the veterans. So I'm going to try to crunch a lot of this in one show because I'm ready to move on to something different. I want to say Happy Veterans Day because my next show is going to be on the 12th of November, and that's going to get me to miss the deadline of Veterans Day, which is November the 11th. So I'm going to say beforehand, Happy Veterans Day to all you veterans, including myself. Hope you have a safe and happy day on that day, and celebrate it to the fullest for yourselves. And I want to say thank you to all my veterans who are out there, who are still in the trenches. I want to say Happy Veterans Day to my sister Yolanda, who's right now, she's working right now. She's in the National Guard right now. She also was prior service, and she's in the National Guard now. And right now she's at work. I think they're getting troops ready to go to Afghanistan. I'm not for sure what the situation is, but she is away right now. Hoping her safety and everything. We're going to talk about, like I said, next week we're going to finish up the PTSD because I want to go further. I want to say it's uncharted, but kind of scary territory. We want to start talking about the government. I'm saying it like that. And the first story I want to talk about, or the first subject I want to get into, I want to get a clear understanding about the Federal Reserve. I watched today something about the Tea Party, and I didn't understand what they were fussing about and everything. But when I listened to them and I caught on to a lot of things that they were saying, I understand what they're saying. I understand what they're fussing about more taxes and stuff. So what I did was, with the help of my son, he's a great resource, I started doing some research on the history of our Federal Reserve. And it amazed me on the stuff that I'm thinking, because I do work for the federal government, that I should know, and I don't know. So I thought that I would give myself a lesson. So November 19th, we will go into another series, and I'm really hoping that you guys call in. I'm really hoping I can get some interaction with you guys. So talk to me about what's going on. What do you think is going on with politics? How do you see America? Can we do things better? How do we do things better? I don't want to get into the presidency just yet because it's more to his position that's going to go along with what we're talking about with the Federal Reserve. So from here on out, until something else hits me, I want to talk on that lines about the Federal Reserve and how we can handle things on our end and getting the history of where the Federal Reserve comes from. And you guys are going to be very, very surprised. If you don't know now, I'm hoping this is a lesson that you guys really listen to and learn from. If you don't know where the Federal Reserve has been created and where it came from, you're going to want to listen to our next show. Our next show with that is going to be on the 19th of November, and we're going to start with the Federal Reserve and how it came about. We're going to talk about 1913, and a lot of the shows that we're going to be talking about, I'm not going to be doing a lot of talking. I will be talking, but I won't be doing a lot of talking because I want you to listen to what is being said. You might have heard some of this stuff before, but it's a great history lesson. It's a lesson on economics, and it's a lesson on our history. So stuff that we weren't taught in school. So please take time out and listen to my show next week. Like I said, we're going to Happy Veterans Day first and foremost. November 12th, 8 o'clock, same place, same back channel. Come out, listen. I mean, turn your radios on. I mean, get on the internet and listen, podcast this show, whatever you have to do to get a hold and listen and learn something from what I'm saying. I know you probably think, oh, she reads a lot. Well, I do read a lot. And maybe I need to stop doing it. But to me, that's the way I can interact with you guys. It's comfortable for me. If you have a problem with it, leave me a comment. Email me. You can contact me on Blog Talk Radio anytime. I want you guys to talk to me. Have a safe afternoon or evening. I'm hoping that everything that you ask for, wish for, dream for comes true, even in the midst of all that is going on. Hold on to your dreams. Even though we might be hitting a couple of bumps, hold on and allow things to happen so that through all the rain and the clouds, their sunshine's got to come out sometime. So I'm hoping you guys keep that in mind. I'm going to close with some more music. I thank you guys for all my listeners out there. You have a way to contact me. Email me. You can email me at sensible64@yahoo.com. Email me on Blog Talk. I haven't learned how to do the chat at the same time being on the radio, and I need to learn that. I would love to do that if I could get people to call in while I'm online, but eventually that will happen. We will have guests in the future. Right now, I want to concentrate on this right here because this is very important, and I want you guys to know that I'm here for you if you need me. I love you. You can get me on Facebook at Salita McCall, /Salita McCall. Facebook me anytime you want. I have a Twitter, but I haven't been tweeting lately. I have to start getting to that, too. I have to start messing with that again, too. I'm trying to, excuse me, put all my stuff together in one basket and move stuff. I will be coming out with a new website, and I'm working on it now, and I'm almost finished. And you can also contact me on my website once I get it together. I want to say good night, and please listen to the music. And I love you guys. See you next week. This is Chocolate Lady 64 signing out.